Welcome to Healthy Brain, Happy Body, a podcast from the Northeast Region Biofeedback Society. I'm your host, Dr. Saul Rosenthal. On this podcast, we talk with experts about applied psychophysiology, biofeedback, neurofeedback, and all things brain-related. These are conversations to educate, raise questions, have some fun, and help us all lead healthier, happier lives. Today's guide is Dr. Andreas Mueller, Director of the Research Clinic in Chur, Switzerland, CEO of the Brain and Trauma Foundation in Switzerland, President of the Board of Directors of the HBI Med, and founder of Brain Arc Clinics in Zurich and Chur. Dr. Mueller has been in clinical practice for over 35 years and has published on ADHD, EEG, event-related potentials, and how these biomarkers relate to mental health disorders. He did the primary data collection for the HBI database. Now, this is a database that is used to compute quantitative EEGs, but also includes other parameters that tell us about neural functioning. I talked with Dr. Mueller about some of these parameters and why they are important both for us as clinicians and also for people in their everyday lives. So Andy, I want to welcome you to Healthy Brain, Happy Body. In the first two episodes of the podcast for this season, we discussed the HBI database with Angelica and Mitch Sadar. Can you tell us a little bit about what your role is with HBI?
Yes, I can. I'm actually the guy who gave the starting point. I was in a meeting with Jay Gunkelman and Yuri Kropotov. And then Yuri asked me, why do you know such many things? And then he said, because I know. And why do you know that something is more than the average or below the average? And then he said, yeah, I know that, but I don't know exactly. So I asked him to, if it not would not be good to make a kind of a database. At that time, we didn't know what it could be. And then he said, yes, that would be very good. And I had good connections where I live. And so I asked here the school. And so the school told me, yes, this is very interesting and a great thing for our, for diagnostics. And so then about 300 children subscribed for to come to have measures, and so meanwhile I settled up with Yuri the protocol of the measures, and this was very interesting because besides the task that we use today, we did three other tasks: an auditory VCPT, a reading task, a maths task. And the most of the children could do that. So this was the starting point of the database. And then by the years we collect more data. We collect all the data of the adults database. So now we have a database from which lasts from 6 to 89 years, and we have more or less the same amount of women and men. So it's about 600 and 600 now, a little bit more women, I guess. And so there is a there I think it's the biggest database, the largest database which contains ERPs, and ERPs show us much more than the spectra analysis. And but it's more complex, of course. You need to know more. You need to know more about the information processing of the brain. So this was the first step when we jumped in. And meanwhile, we have other measures which are very important for everyday life, like arousal, like central sensory index, like vigilance.
Yeah, so one of the things that the HBI provides us is those parameters that go beyond the QEEG, beyond the brain mapping. And if there are people listening who don't know much about the HBI, please, I ask just you listen to the first two episodes of this season when the SADRs really gave a good description. But you'll be talking about some specific parameters on March 22nd in a webinar. And what will you be focusing on? What parameters will you be focusing on?
As I have told you, I will focus in this webinar on arousal and on vigilance. And these are two measures which are very, very important for everyday life in human, but also to know what I have to work with. Also, they give some insights about medication. And of course, they give some insights for everyday life, everyday life strategies. So this is very important to have these measures. And as you remember, in the late 90s, the models of neurofeedback have mostly been driven by arousal, even if nobody knew what it is, but what it was at that time, we had not the possibility to measure it, but all the people talked about arousal. And some people told us to drive arousal down by neurofeedback. Other people said you have to go up. And it was mostly at that time by the hypoactive ADHD or the hyperactive ADHD. And some people suggested that the hyperactive ADHD is more related to hyperarousal and the hypoactive ADHD is more related to hypoarousal. Now we know that it's not totally true. We know that you need to know some differences.
You'd said before that measures like vigilance and arousal are important for just everyday life. So from a client perspective, how does that reflect everyday life? Why should clients care about it?
Yeah, I think this is what they do everyday life. And my opinion, and this is what, because it's so important to me, if you train your brain in everyday life in a certain mode, to active or to deactivate the brain. So you do it all the time, and it's a mode of life, and it's not just therapy. And I always say the power for life has to come out of life and not out of medication or out of therapy. So you need to organize your life in the way that you have a better life. And that life is giving you the power and not taking from you the power. And this is very important.
And so from a clinician's perspective, so our, and I agree with you, I would rather do the clinical work, do the interventions, and then have the person go live their lives. How do I use those measures, though? What do I do in terms of using vigilance and arousal to design my interventions, my therapies?
Yeah, I mean, if you use the HBI Med database, then you have immediately two measures about how it is in the patient. that you have to treat. So, you know, on a scale of, we call it Stonine scale. This is not invented by us. This is a well-known scale that is widely used in medicine. And it's going from 1 to 9. And if you know that someone has an arousal of 1, then you have your brain is working totally different, then you have an arousal than 9. If you have an arousal of 9, you know, we know that now that it's easier to come down a little bit, let's say to 7 or to 6. It's not necessary. That is also something that we learned in the last five to seven years. You have not to come down exactly in the medium. You can just small differences make very often a big difference in the feeling of the patient. And to calm down someone is much easier than to bring him up. As you know, if someone has a very low arousal, let's say on 1 or 2, then it's very hard to bring the arousal up to, let's say, 3 or 4. And this has to do very much with activation. So if you do neurofeedback, it's easy to bring someone down. You can make alpha training. You can also do alpha stimulation. Step by step, the arousal is coming down. And this is really helpful for this patient. And on the other way, if you have someone who has low arousal, then maybe you can do some neurofeedback, try out in beta training, in frontal beta training. That is probably helpful, but not in all patients.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly harder to bring that arousal and vigilance up.
Yeah. So we invented a new method. So first, we always give them power by TDCS, transcranial electrical brain intervention. So that gives us a possibility to make the brain in a hyper polarization of the neurons, and then after, let's say, 20 minutes, we do neurofeedback. So we deal then a little bit with this new energy that the people have, and then they start to have a new self-organization of the brain. If you just want to make neurofeedback, it's just not helpful for them. But we know that some medication will help them. We know also the medication which is helpful in people with very high arousal. So these are all insights that we gain with these new measures.
So the procedure you were talking about using TDCS, that's a very, very low level direct current stimulation, which causes neurons to fire, basically hyperpolarization. And so does that sort of bring their arousal up and then use the neurofeedback to kind of help shape it?
Exactly. This is the way we do it. But for that, you need to know if someone has a low arousal or someone has a high arousal. We made the experience that if someone has the low arousal, then you can talk with them hours and hours, dozens of hours, but at the end they don't change anything. And it's very interesting. It's also a difference in women and men. women with very low arousal, they learned maybe with the epigenetics of the last 20,000 years that they cannot, they have children, they have to look to the children, so they have to go up in the morning. People, men with low arousal, they usually have lots of difficulties in activation themselves. Maybe in the former time, they were sitting on their hunter seat and sleeping a little bit. But women cannot do that because the children are here, and even if you have a low arousal, you need to be active. And that gave probably to women a kind of discipline gene, you know what I mean? So a gene that made them to be more disciplined, so they could arrange to have the family as well, also if they have a low arousal. And we know now that motivation is the best activator. We know now if people with low arousal has a high motivation, they can work for hours, so they can also have a hyper focus.
So the sex difference you're finding, even if there's both are men and women are have low arousal, women seem to be able to kind of bring that up more easily than men.
Yeah. So they go up easier. And the reason is probably what I have told you. But because they need it to be there, to be there for the children.
Since we recorded this, Dr. Mueller's webinar has been postponed, and we divided the interview into two parts. Go to nrbs.org or the show notes to register for this webinar. And join us next week for the second part of my interview with Dr. Mueller, clinician and scientist studying EEG and a primary developer of the HBI database. This is Healthy Brain, Happy Body. I'm your host, Dr. Saul Rosenthal. Subscribe to this podcast by clicking the subscribe here link in the show notes or wherever you get your podcasts. We really do want to hear from you, so be part of the ongoing conversation by contacting us with your thoughts, ideas, and questions. Our address is healthybrain@nrbs.org. Also, review the podcast. It really helps us reach more listeners. Healthy Brain, Happy Body is a production of the Northeast Region Biofeedback Society. Go to nrbs.org to find out more about the organization, including our trainings, monthly webinars, and yearly conference. Healthy Brain, Happy Body is produced and edited by me. The theme music is Catch It by Calma Media. The podcast is supported by the sponsors of NRBS and the International Society for Neuroregulation and Research. Be sure to join us on our next episode as we continue to explore the keys to our well-being on Healthy Brain, Happy Body.